Albany was rocked Saturday evening with the breaking news from the New York Times about a second former staffer in the Cuomo administration accusing the governor of inappropriate sexual behavior in the office. The account of Charlotte Bennett, who worked in close quarters with the governor during the peak of the pandemic last year, describes conversations with Cuomo where he asked about her sex life and volunteered that he was open to a relationship with women in their 20s. After a back and forth about the proper means of investigating the governor's conduct, Cuomo relented on Sunday to empowering the Attorney General's office to initiate a probe into his behavior and issued a defense, sort of apology, for his past actions. For more on this developing story, we spoke Monday morning to Bill Mahoney, a Capitol reporter for Politico New York. Welcome back to the show, Bill.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I mentioned the evolving discussion surrounding what an investigation into the governor would or should look like. Can you explain what unfolded over the weekend as the Cuomo administration yielded more and more authority over this process?
Yeah, essentially when this news first broke, it was followed minutes later by the Cuomo administration announcing that they would be appointing a former federal judge to investigate this. That did not seem to win anybody over. The Cuomo administration has a long history of finding ways to investigate itself through allies it appoints to who wind up maybe not going under as many rocks as a lot of critics would like. They went through a lot of effort to defend the resume of this federal judge, but still people were saying this needs to be somebody outside of your office. It's not appropriate to have it be somebody you choose to investigate yourself. Eventually, the governor relented a little bit where he said, we've got this new plan where the attorney general and chief judge will jointly appoint an investigator. That still landed poorly, partially because this plan seemed to leave the investigator without subpoena power to conduct a thorough investigation. And finally, late Sunday night, we saw they relented more fully and said the attorney general can appoint somebody, whoever they want, from the private sector, and that person will be given subpoena power and be able to conduct the investigation that a lot of people have wanted since this news first broke.
And the governor is really no stranger to this referral process, as he was on the receiving end of it by Governors Patterson and Spitzer when he was attorney general, right?
Yeah, this whole thing does have some shades, especially to the Spitzer era, where Governor Cuomo, notably when he was attorney general and when he held that office back from 2007 through 2010, put a lot of effort into pushing for a blanket referral power to be able to investigate people like the governor at will without seeking this. Because what we've seen with the sexual harassment thing, there can't be a thorough investigation into the governor unless the governor signs off, which doesn't seem like the most efficient way to conduct investigations in a state. And the governor back in the day was pretty vocal, saying the attorney general should be able to investigate people like then Governor Spitzer and Patterson at will. He's been pretty silent on that since he became governor himself and unsurprisingly does not want more people with the power to investigate him. And that kind of played out last night where eventually he was forced to relent. And in this particular case, at least, issue the referral to let James's office manage an investigation into him.
And over the weekend, we heard from State Senator Todd Kominsky, a former federal prosecutor, who said he's going to introduce legislation, or may have already introduced legislation as we talk right now, about this referral process. So what, if anything, do we know about the scope of the investigation into the attorney general will initiate? For example, could she direct investigators to look into a culture of harassment more broadly in the administration, which has been alleged by various reporters and state lawmakers, including last week on this show by Democratic Senator Alessandra Biaggi?
I haven't seen any referral yet. As of Sunday night, at least, they had not issued it. Mm-hmm. So I think some of the question might come down to how it's worded. And if it's not worded broadly enough, yeah, there will probably be some pushback once again. And we'll see if the governor relents for a fourth time. But certainly, that's probably, without weighing on the moral deeds that may have been done or anything like that, just purely from a political risk from Cuomo, that's probably the biggest risk for him right now, where if we just see confirmation of these two cases that have already emerged, that's not good for him. But if we do see this broader report about how there's multiple cases and he's encouraged this casual looseness about talking about sexual behavior in the office, that's there's a reasonable chance that he would not be in office much longer after that.
How did the calls for an investigation following the allegations of Charlotte Bennett compare to what people were saying after the allegations of Lindsay Boylan broke earlier in the week?
Well, when we saw these initial, when we saw this initial story on Wednesday, and to a degree when we saw some of the other brewing controversy over the governor's bullying behavior in the weeks before that, there were plenty of calls from all sorts of legislators saying that this should be investigated. But a lot of people seemed content to put out a statement saying it should be investigated without detailing how they thought this should happen. And then there was not really a lot of follow-up until Saturday night in terms of what that would look like, how independent that should be. But the second one really seems to have pushed a lot of legislators, including ones who are traditionally formal allies, over the edge, saying this needs to be independent, the governor can have no hands on it, and this needs to happen immediately and quickly. And it was less of a press release atmosphere, more of a demanding atmosphere in terms of how this should be looked at.
Well, I was struck by the legislative leaders on the Democratic side and how when the Boylan story came out, they basically condemned the behavior that was alleged in her recollection of her time in the administration, but didn't actually call for an investigation. Whereas on Friday, they not only called for an investigation, but then further clarified that the plan from the governor was inadequate and said that, you know, we want the AG to spearhead this. I mean, does that represent a real shift in, I guess, the legislative dynamic with the governor based on what you saw there in terms of what they were calling for?
Yeah, I think one ironclad rule of Albany going back since Cuomo took office, at least, is that the legislature, Republicans or Democrats, whichever party's in the majority, has often been hesitant to go to the mat in terms of fighting with Cuomo. And things that really have a potential to burn a lot of bridges, they've always kind of backed away from the precipice. We've seen plenty of bills over the years where there's clear majorities and they could do a veto override even when the Democrats didn't have a supermajority like they did now. But they've never even taken the step of attempting that. And there have been other incidents where they've just kind of let things slide. But as you mentioned, this time, they were very forceful in saying this should be done. This needs to be handled by the attorney general. What you're doing is not strong enough. And it was one of the cleanest breaks we've seen over the past decade.
We're talking about the fallout from the sexual misconduct allegations against Governor Cuomo. And our guest is Politico New York Capitol reporter Bill Mahoney. Ever since Lindsay Boylan, a Democratic hopeful for the Manhattan Borough presidency, first floated her claims in December about misconduct by the governor, and again when she shared a very detailed account of her interactions with Cuomo, the administration has taken a hard line in response to her allegations. How does that compare to their response to the claims made by Charlotte Bennett?
The governor came as close as we've ever seen him to basically admitting that what it was true. When the story first emerged, he put out a statement that didn't quite fully explicitly deny it. As things were brewing over the weekend and people kept on hammering him for this, on Sunday night he came out with a statement where he said he thought he was being playful in the office. This workplace is essentially his entire life and where many of his personal friends are, and apologized for crossing a line. With some wording that didn't make a lot of people happy. It was some of the traditional wording of the accused saying, like, I'm sorry for anybody who misinterpreted what I was saying rather than apologizing directly for the behavior. But this was a more explicit admission than we saw last week.
Well, and when we talk about people or groups who were unsatisfied with this, the Sexual Harassment Working Group, a group of former legislative staffers who have really prioritized, you know, getting this sort of culture out of Albany, basically said, you know, you're gaslighting us and this is, you know, a non-starter. Do you think that's going to drive the conversation in Albany? Do you think their agenda and their response is going to be pretty much the norm?
I do think a lot of legislators are echoing that this isn't vocal enough. Once again, we'll see where this all leads. It doesn't sound like they're taking any immediate action or over his apology or anything like that. It'll probably come down to what the investigation actually finds. But if we do come out with if we do hit a point where the investigation is damning, I think there will be a high expectation that Cuomo acknowledges this and apologizes for it more directly than he has so far.
What, if anything, do these allegations, the new investigation that's going to be initiated by the state attorney general, and just the ongoing, I guess, federal probe into the state's handling of nursing home data mean for the state budget, which is due in a month?
I think it's too soon to say that at this point. Obviously, if this snowballs further and we get more allegations, or if this investigation wraps up quickly and paints such a damning portrait, then there's a chance that maybe Governor Cuomo won't be in the room for negotiating said budget. But as things stand now, he still has massive amounts of power. And yes, the legislature might be more willing to stand up to him and force him to negotiate and hold up the entire budget than they had been willing. But he does have a lot of control just under the way the state constitution is worded to determine how the budget is shaped out, is shaped up. And, you know, for example, if we wind up in a position where he has certain demands for what's in the budget, the legislature doesn't meet them, the legislature's only choice at that point is to not pass the budget. And at that point, Cuomo will come out and be able to say, we're in the middle of a pandemic and you're shutting down our hospitals because you're not passing the bills needed to give them money because you're still focused on issues like the millionaire's tax, for example. And it's always the eternal question is how long can the legislature withstand pressure like that? And assuming Cuomo is still in office, I don't think we're at the point yet where we can say that they definitely have the upper hand in the budget negotiations.
Looking even further down the road, and you know, assuming that this investigation, as well as the probe of the nursing home data, get resolved, I guess, as best possible from the governor's perspective, what does this mean for the 2022 gubernatorial elections?
I think anybody who has been in Albany for the past decade has learned through things like the Joe Prococo arrest of his top staffer, quote, third brother several years ago, the Moreland Commission stuff years before that, never to completely count out the governor because he's found his way to win re-election when lots of experts have said that he might be facing new trouble. But I do think it would be fair that for the first point in his entire tenure, we've hit a point where most people in Albany would not expect him to be elected to a fourth term.
And is he more vulnerable from his left or from a Republican in a general election campaign?
Probably his left. That's usually the way things work in New York. It's a deep blue state, so if he is elected as a Democratic governor, the Republicans need to have a lot of things go their way. And there are, it depends partially on who's willing to challenge him and if big names are willing to step up. That's been to his advantage in the past, even as a lot of Democrats have been disgruntled with him in his first two terms. 4 years ago, 3 years ago, the biggest name we saw was Cynthia Nixon, who, while she had a very strong following, did not have any government experience and did not have the campaign experience needed to oust somebody who was quite so formidable. And then once he won that race, he was able to essentially coast to an easy victory in the general.
Well, we'll leave it there. Our guest has been Politico New York Capitol reporter Bill Mahoney. Bill, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening. Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.